one of the people that you'd want on your team, right? I don't think so. In fact, I even wonder, when you look at it, the 12 disciples that Jesus chose to follow Him weren't the cream of the crop. A bunch of smelly fishermen, a tax collector whom Jews despised because many of the tax collectors were, in essence, kind of stealing from them, taking a lot more than they should to give to the Roman government. I mean, a tax collector was kind of like an enemy, but He chooses a tax collector, of all people, to be one of His disciples. Peter, who couldn't keep his mouth shut, usually with opening mouth and inserting foot, was what Peter was, oftentimes getting himself into trouble with his mouth. He chose these. And you think if they had written resumes for this, that if we were the ones who were going to decide, I doubt whether very many of them that Jesus chose would have been who we chose. You think I'm correct? Probably. And now here is Jesus saying, I want you. Saul, I want you. Now, here along comes Ananias. Now, we read that the Lord told a disciple named Ananias in a vision that the Lord had told him, go to the house of Judas on Street Street, that is Saul, for Ananias, on State Street, and ask for a man named Tarsus, from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, that is you, come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Now, Ananias had heard things. You know, information didn't fly as fast back then as it does today. They didn't have Facebook and all the things that we have. But word got around that there was this guy who was really zealous, and he really wanted to wipe away all the Christians. Now, you'd think your ears would perk up when you hear that sort of thing if you're a new Christian in town. And you realize that this Christianity was kind of a new thing going on here. Since Pentecost, it had been flying all over the place. And now, this guy Ananias is thinking, yeah, right. This is a setup. Well, I think that this is a setup. He wants me, and I'm probably not really hearing this from the Lord. He wants me to come over there, so he'll take me back to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm probably going to be killed. I'm sure that's part of the thought that was going through Ananias' mind. In fact, he's even asking in the vision, Lord, you know who he is. You know who he is. He wants to kill us. He wants to arrest us. He wants to take us back to Jerusalem. Are you out of your mind? And what's Jesus say? Go. I got it. Go. This guy has been praying. That says something to you. This guy has been praying. Something has happened to this guy named Saul. And I want you to help him out because he's blind right now. And I'm going to use you to give back his sight. So, Ananias goes. This would not be the way I would have written the story. I don't think it's the way you would have been writing the story. God used Ananias to do something here. To break the news to the Christians all over the place that this dude Saul is a changed man. Saul had an advocate. Ananias. I want to bring that back to us for a moment. The church sometimes doesn't do a very good job of reaching out to people out there who might be different than we are. They live differently than we do. They don't act the way we do. Although I'll tell you what, a lot of times people in the church don't act very good themselves. We come across pretty good when we meet on Sunday morning with all the amens and hallelujahs, but then you go out there during the week and it's like we aren't any different than anyone else is. And that's kind of sad. If we claim to have faith in Jesus Christ, then we have to try to honor Him in the way we live our lives. Sometimes we don't do a very good job of that. But thankfully, we've got a God who's forgiving. Thankfully, we have a God that doesn't say that your salvation was based on your performance, because if it was, guess what? None of us passed, including me. But because of what Jesus did, He took care of that big gap between my behavior, my performance, and what He did on the cross at Calvary to take care of that big, huge gap between my unrighteousness and His righteousness. I want to look at this story and say, for you and for me, from both sides of this, sometimes you and I need to be an advocate for others. Sometimes we need to stand in the gap for others. Those who have a faith in Jesus Christ, but perhaps they're not very refined yet. Not that refining is necessary in the sense that God takes us, first of all, just as we are. He takes us just as we are. He doesn't say, when you get all your ducks in a row, then I'll come knocking. You know when He comes knocking? When we're all messed up. That's when He comes knocking. He says, I want you the way you are right now. Don't change a thing right now. I want you just as you are. And that's what He says. He took Saul just because where was Saul heading? To Damascus to get some people to bring back to Jerusalem to do whatever he was going to do with them, because he wanted to wipe the world clean of all Christianity, as it was called in that day, the way. That's what he wanted to do. We need to be an advocate. Can we be one? Saul was a changed man. And Ananias was the one who was going to tell all the Christians in that arena that Saul is one of us now, in the sense that God has taken a hold of his life and He's changing Saul just like He's changed us. Accept Him. In fact, later on in the book of Acts, when we get to it, Saul changes his name to Paul. You know, some people, I was watching a police show the other day. Being I was a former police officer, maybe I get into this stuff a little bit, but there was this particular criminal who had changed their name, and they finally found out that they had changed their name so they could find out who this dude really was. Some people change their name to hide their past. In some countries, you know what they do? I had two friends, one from India and one from Kenya, that in college and in seminary, and they had an Americanized name. And I asked, why did you change your name? Well, for one, we couldn't pronounce their name if we tried to, so that was maybe one of the reasons. But the one guy, his last name was Mungai, which was a Kenyan name, but his first name was Simon. I said, why did you change it to Simon Mungai? He said, in our culture, when a person comes to Christ, becomes a Christian, we westernize our name. That's a way of identifying with the Christian faith. So we give ourselves a name that is westernized. Sometimes it's a biblical name, sometimes it's just a name that people would be familiar with that is not in their language. And then there was Kuchipudi Clement. Kuchipudi was a shortened name for what his long name was. That was the short form of it. But Clement was an Americanized, a Western name. He was from India, and he said the same thing. He changed his name because he now identified with Christ. You know, in a sense, that was what was going on here when Saul became Paul. He was no longer Saul. He was now Paul. He belonged to Jesus Christ now. Peter, same thing. Cephas, Peter. And here we have Saul, who later, as we're going to find out, is called Paul. He became a new creature in Christ. So a name change was appropriate. Now, we don't do that in our culture. We have our names, whatever they were. It might happen to be David. David had some pretty nasty stuff in his life, but he also had some good stuff in his life. In many countries like this, they do that. It means I'm different. It means I'm new. It means I'm reborn. It means I'm part of a new family. But yet I want you to note something in this text as we come to a closing here pretty quick. When Jesus called Saul, He said something. When He talked to Ananias in this vision, He said, I will show Saul
how much you must suffer for my name. Sometimes the call brings with it a responsibility, and maybe even a responsibility we don't like. Paul had a tough life in Christ. If you look at everything that happened to him, he had a tough life in Christ, yet he would say in Philippians chapter 1 that he rejoiced no matter what was going on. He said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, in all circumstances, he rejoiced because he had found something in Christ that he didn't have outside of Christ. When he was trying to persecute all the Christians, he realized the one who died for him took care of everything that was his problem. And now he considered it a privilege to live for him. But yet Ananias was told that this man, Saul, is going to be a powerhouse for the faith. It's going to demand a lot from him. And there's some, perhaps, even here amongst us that maybe have a more difficult road to hoe than others do. Romans talks about the fact that we may suffer, but it said to persevere, because in perseverance it produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because of our life in Jesus Christ. I don't always want to paint the pretty picture that you give your life to Christ and it's peaches and cream after that. You know, everything is going to be great. Christians suffer just like non-Christians suffer. Christians struggle just like non-Christians struggle. Christians get cancer just like non-Christians get cancer. Christians get hit by cars just like non-Christians get hit by cars. You see what I'm saying? There's no respecter of persons in that sense, but the one thing we have that non-Christians don't, we have satisfaction in Jesus Christ. We have a joy unspeakable. So what about us? Has God changed our hearts like he's changed Saul's heart? Are we new creatures in Christ? He seeks to transform us. When we give our life to him, he starts from that point. Whatever kind of a mess we're in, he starts there. He doesn't say, no, you can't start attending classes with me until you get it a little bit better here. He says, no, it starts right now. I take you just as you are. So don't wait, folks. Don't wait till you get all your ducks in a row. Give your life to him now because he wants you now just as you are. And then he seeks to transform you and me. And we're all in process, aren't we? We haven't arrived yet. Do you and I have a Christian advocate that would truly say we're different? There's another way to look at this, isn't there? Do we have someone who would say, Dave's different? Well, a lot of you would probably say Dave's different, but I don't mean in that way. Do we have someone who would say that man or that woman is a servant of the Lord and loves the Lord with all their heart? And I can tell because I have witnessed the way they're trying to live their life. Do we have an advocate that would do that? I hope you do. That tells me that you are being transformed. Do you and I truly believe that God can change hearts? I've heard people before say that person that came in here, do you know who they really are? Do you know who they really are? Do you know what they've done? I don't care. I don't care. God doesn't care what they did. He cares what they do from this point forward. If you can change Saul to Paul, he can change you or me, Daddy. Amen? As Paul Harvey says, what's he say? Yeah. There's more to the story as we go through Acts, but we're done for today. God, thank you and praise you for your word that speaks to us. We see it's real human beings that have real struggles that Jesus speaks to and wants to bring into the fold, no matter how crappy a life they lived, no matter what they were before. He wants them just as they are. He took Saul just as he was. And then he changed them. Lord, I want you to take each and every one here just as we are. And then change us. Change us to be the people you want us to be. Change us to be people that show gratitude and thanksgiving
for how you've saved us from our sin and how you are transforming our lives. Help us to be appreciative and show gratitude for what you've done. Lord, as we close our time together this morning, we're going to share in Holy Communion. It's a reminder that you paid a price we couldn't pay. That it all fell on you and not on us. That it was never based on our performance, but it was based on what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.